The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas, Parashas Kiseitze. Kiseitze has many, many mitzvahs. But among some of the mitzvahs, and some of the dinim, the laws which are mentioned here, we can gain a great insight. They are eye-openers for us in reference to a person's marriage, his house, and his children. One of the mitzvahs, the parshas that we have in this parsha, is the parsha of Ben Seir Omeirev. And that's in the beginning of the Seder, Posuk Yud Ches. Chof Aleph Posuk Yud Ches. Yeli ish bein seira umeira. When a person has a son who is seira umeira, he goes astray from the upright path, umeira, and he rebels against his parents. Einenu shomea b'kol aviv b'kol imay. He does not listen to the voice of his father or to the voice of his mother. Yisrei seiva leish ma'aleihem. And they rebuke him. And they take him to the authorities, but he will not listen to them. Bisofsi by Ovi Vimai, his father and mother shall take him. They bring him to the Zikanim, the elders, Vel Sharma Keme, to the courts, the Bezdin, Vomru El Zikne Irai, Benenuze Seiru Meira. And they say to the elders, Arshan is a Ben Seiru Meira. He doesn't listen to our voice. Zolel v'seve. He eats what he shouldn't and he drinks what he shouldn't. Gomuhu kol anshe irei bavonim v'meis. The people of the city shall stone him and he dies. Uviatoro mikir becho, and you shall remove the evil from within you. V'chol Yisrael yishmu v'yiro'u, and all of Israel should listen and should fear from this. The Gemara brings in Masechet Sanhedrin what went on here, that he only becomes this Ben Seir Meirah after he has stolen from his father and he eats a lot of meat and he drinks a lot of wine with this that he stole it. And the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Sanhedrin and Daf Ein Aleph Omid Beis Bein Sora Meire Nidain Hashem Seifei. He is judged not for what he has done right now, because the crime does not, the punishment does not justify the crime, but rather Al Shem Seifei, what will ultimately become from him. Because the Gemara goes through, there are many, many conditions and circumstances before one becomes a Ben Seir Omeirev. But he, we see, the elders see from all of these circumstances what the eventuality is. And eventually he's going to become a gangster, a thief, and to the point where he even will not be able to find enough money without killing for his money. So therefore, Nidin al Shem Seifei, he is judged on the eventuality of what will take place. Yomu zake val yomu shayev. He should rather die while he is still innocent than die when he is guilty. Shemisosin shel rishayim hanolehen v'hanole eilam. Because the death of the evil is actually a benefit to them and it's a benefit to the world. This is what the Mishnah tells us. Further, the Gemara tells us on 9 base
Reish Omer Aleph. Tanya Rabbi Yesi Aglili Eimer. Rabbi Yesi Aglili says, V'chi mibnei she'ochel zeh ta'atim r'bosor v'shosa chatzi leg yayin ha'atalki omre tere yetze levezdin l'shokel. Just because he went and he eats a lot of meat and he drinks a lot of wine, did the Torah say that you shall take him to the Bezdin and he should be stoned? So he explains what the Mishnah has written, that the Torah foresaw what is going to come from him. Shesaif Gamen Nikse Oviv. In the end, he'll squander all of the possessions of his father. He won't be able to find what to do with himself. And he'll become a highwayman. And he'll hold up people and kill them. So better he should die when he's innocent. He has not done all of these things yet. Then when he is guilty of all of these things, because the death of the evil are actually a benefit to them and a benefit to the world. The Gemara also tells us on Daf Ein Aleph, Omer Aleph, Sanyu, Omer Abshimon. Shimon says, "V'chi mibnei she'ochel zeh ta'atim r'bosor v'shosa chatzi leg yayin ha'atalki oviv yima meitzin ha'isei l'seikle ele lohoi v'leosid liyois." The Gemara tells us that there's a great deal of circumstances that have to be gathered together at one place and one time before this actually becomes a reality. So Reb Shimon, one of the sages of the Mishnah, held that this law will never be enacted. You'll never get all of the circumstances together. There was never a ben seir meire. So why did the Torah write it? Dresh v'kabel schar, in order that we can learn and expound and get reward for the learning of it. At the same time, at least learn the theoretical law. Rabbi Yenison disagrees. Omer Rabbi Yenison anira isov. He says, I saw Ben Seder Meir v'yoshavti al kivrei, and I sat right near his grave. At any rate, this, in brief, is the mitzvah of the rebellious son that goes astray. Now, at first glance, the Torah is teaching us how to deal with a son that's a juvenile delinquent that is growing up to be a gangster, what we're supposed to do with him. That's only half the story. If we look into the parsha, we see actually there are four subjects dealt with in the beginning of the parsha. The first one is the mitzvah of Yefasteyar. That's Kiseitze la Milchoma Aleivecho. A person goes to war against his enemies. And Vishoviso Shivyoi, they take captives. And this person sees in the amongst the captives an Eshish Yefasteyar, a beautiful woman. That's the first parsha. The second one is Kisiena li Ishte Noshin. A man has two wives. One wife he loves and the other wife is hated in his eyes. And both wives bear children to him. So the Torah tells us that even though the firstborn is from the wife which he hates, he still has to give him the extra inheritance that is due to a firstborn. That's the second parsha. The third parsha is the Bein Seira Meira, the rebellious son that's gone astray. Fourth parsha is V'chi Yevi Ish Chet Mishpat Moves V'humos, when there is a person who is deserving of capital punishment. and the courts put him to death. V'soliso oisei al eitz, and they hang him on a tree. V'soli nivlosi al eitz ki kovas yigbarenu b'yemahu. You shall not leave him hang overnight, but on that day you must take him down and bury him. Ki kilis elikim toloi, because he is made in the image of the Almighty, a person, and this is a shame and a disgrace for the Almighty. Therefore, you shall not cause impurity to the land which Hashem has given to you. These are four parshas. Rashi tells us, Kulan Taluyin Zubazu, that they are all related. They are not just four mitzvahs in the Torah, but all of these are related. One leads to the other. That the Ephasteir, the captive, women in captivity, that leads to the second parsha of having two wives where one is beloved and the other is hated. This leads to the third parsha of having an offspring of a rebellious son. And this leads to the fourth parsha when someone is guilty of the death penalty, what you should do with it. So we cannot really start in the middle. If we're to understand this, we have to go to the beginning. So let's take a look at the first parsha of Yefasteir. It states, Kiseitzei la milchoma aleivecho. You'll go to war against your enemies. Unesone Hashem elekecho biyodecho v'shavisa shivya. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give your enemies in your hands and you will take captives. V'ri'isa b'shivyeshish yefastoar. And you will see in the captivity a woman that is beautiful to you. V'choshakto bo. And you will desire her. You may take her for a wife. And then the Torah tells us the conditions that you have to fulfill before you're allowed to take her from as a wife. This is the first parsha. We see from this parsha that his entire interest, or his entire attention was brought to this woman, because Beroisho, he saw what he saw. What did he see? He saw an Eishish Yefasteir. He saw a woman that was beautiful to him, physical appearance and infatuation. Bechoshakto boy, and he desired her. Rashi tells us, brings from the Gemara, that really the Torah should not have permitted this individual, this soldier, to take her and to make her into a wife. But here the Torah is facing the reality of the Yetzer Hara, of the evil inclination of man. Shimena Kodesh Baruch Hu Matira. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow you to take her, Yisena B'Yisur, then he will marry her anyhow. He will marry her even though he's not allowed to. So therefore, the Torah here permitted him. So here we see the Godel Giroy Ayetzer Hara B'Zer. We see that the enormous desire that he has for her, because it's going so far as to say that if she would be asura, forbidden to him, he would take her anyhow. Then the Torah tells us, Rashi says, but aval im nasar, but if you will marry her, seifel yeh snua, she will become hated in your eyes. Won't be a good shidduch. Won't be a good marriage. She will become hated in your eyes. And that's the second parasha, as it states, ki siena li'ish, when a man has two wives, one is beloved to him and the other is hated, the hated one will be this one that he took here when he was out at battle. Why will she be hated in his eyes? Why can she not be like the other wife of his, the one that he loves? So here the Torah is telling us something. The foundation of Ava, the foundation of love between two people, is Achdus, oneness, unity. And from here comes what we call, what the Torah calls, Dvekus, Dovak, attachment, to cleave and to bond one to another, togetherness. Now, you can only have unity, you can only have oneness, and you can only have a bondness between two people if they're isharuyelo, if they're properly fit for each other. If you take and anything, you can't take two things and make one out of them unless they fit together. You can't take a circle and put it into a square, and you can't take a square and put it into a circle. So therefore, they have to be ruyal. They have to be befitting for each other. Now, when we say they have to be befitting for each other, though, we mean mikolat stodi, from many aspects, not merely from the aspect of physical beauty. Might be a woman who is nosochein beinov. To this person, she is very beautiful. But that's not enough. Merely the physical appearance or physical infatuation, but it has to be someone that is befitting. They're befitting to each other at the physical level, the nefesh at the emotional level, the seichel, the mental, intellectual level, and the shama, spiritual level. Then it's possible an achdus, a unity, which from here grows ava, love, and then is possible dvekus, to bond to each other, an attachment. This is the glue that take two people and make them into one. Here by Yifas Toar, there was an attachment through his eyes. For Isha, he saw. Ifastea, there was an attachment through the physical beauty. But otherwise, they would not be fitting for each other at all. And that's not enough to create a unity. That's not enough to create a oneness. And therefore, eventually it's going to fall apart. You take two things in the physical world, let's say. You take two blocks of wood, and you glue them together, but they don't fit properly. What's going to happen? Eventually, it's going to break and fall apart. And when it does fall apart, the ava is mischalef lesino. The love that he had for her ends up as hatred. So therefore, we have the second parasha, where he has two wives, and this is the one that's hated. From here we can learn a good etzah, good counsel when one pursues a shidduch, a wife. The first thing is he must pursue a zivug aroilo. He or she must pursue someone that's befitting for him from all as many possible aspects. This is the main thing. Everything else are cheshbeinis, considerations that come afterwards. But this is what makes the shidduch. If not, then the zivug will not be eile yofer. It's not a permanent bonding, attachment. Now, for example, this is for sure, that they have to be befitting each other from the Torah's perspective. That's the first thing. There are some marriages which the Torah forbids. For example, many times you get questions that, heaven forbid, a Jew is infatuated with a non-Jew. Jewish man, non-Jewish woman, or vice versa. and they come to ask counsel. They don't realize it, but there's two problems. First of all, there is the problem that it's forbidden. The Torah said you're not allowed. But there's another problem also. A shidduch like that is destined for disaster. Because if the Torah said that this is not someone you should marry, it means it's a zivuk sheina roilo. It means it's someone that's not fit for you. So how do you expect to make a marriage from it? This is the same thing with any time that the Torah forbids something in marriage. For example, you have the same times. Many times you get with a kain and a grusha. One is a kain and the other is a divorcee. Or you have sometimes when a man, he falls in love with someone else's wife. Well, certainly as long as she's married, but even afterwards, if he, let's say, he manages to woo her away from the other man, this is not a zivug aruilo. So aside from all of the calculations of Isur of prohibitions, a marriage like that cannot work and does not work. Then you have people that marry for other calculations. You have an Esei Isha L'Shem Momon. People marry for money. Either he has a lot of money, or she has a lot of money, or her father has a lot of money. It's a wonderful fringe benefit. If you find a good girl, or you find a good boy, and they have money also. It's a wonderful fringe benefit. But if the shidduch pasna, the zivug, is not befitting for each other, you end up with a fringe, but without the shidduch. Or mishum kovod. Sometimes people marry because it's a wonderful family. Kovod and yichus, this is wonderful. Again, as a fringe benefit. But not as the shidduch. In Shulchan Aruch it's brought that someone who marries the shame woman or the shame kovod or these things, you can't expect the marriage to be a good marriage. Because that's not what's going to make the marriage. I know cases. We all know cases. But I even know cases where people married for yichus, into wonderful yichus. But it ended in disaster. Because they looked at the yichus more than they looked at the shidduch. Therefore, when a person looks for a good shidduch, he has to look for someone that is very befitting for him in many, many aspects. Also, for example, in outlooks, values, that they should be of common value, have common values, common ideologies, common approaches, common directions in vital matters, in anything important. Because if not, they're going to be going in opposite directions and just working against the shidduch. It's not significant if he likes tennis and she likes golf. That's not significant. We're talking about vital matters. But what can be significant, if, for example, his whole life is tennis, and she looks at tennis as nonsense, they could be heading for trouble. So these things have to be looked at very carefully. It used to be a custom in the past, the old days, where people would look for tradition right from their own family. Today, looked at reluctantly. It's frowned upon. It's common. People would marry cousins or second cousins or whatever it might be. It was a good system. Because coming from the same families, they were coming from common backgrounds that had common approaches to life, common ideologies. They used to look for someone in their hometown.
They didn't go merochik. They didn't go far away. If they had to, there was something else. We're not saying in the other shiduchim there are plenty that work out. But we're saying in the there's a better chance. I once heard from Rabbi Avigdor Miller. He should be well and strong. He was asked the question: should a person look bedak in his own hometown? Or should he go far away? Should he marry someone with a common background? Or is it even someone, let's say his family came from such a place in Europe and someone else comes from a different place in the world altogether? So he said that when he was in Slobodka, this question was asked to the Rosh Yeshiva. So the Rosh Yeshiva answered, says the Gemara says, Kosh zibugin shalodim kikriyash amsuf. To find that match, that's a good match, is a great miracle. It's a great miracle by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu works on it very, very hard, very diligently. Such a great miracle, it can be equated to the splitting of the sea. Because to take two people and to make one from them is not easy. So the Slobodka Rosh Yeshiva said, don't make the miracle more difficult than it has to be. When you're taking two people and they have common background, common approaches, that's enough of a miracle. Don't try to make the miracle more difficult than it has to be, if possible. Actually, in Parshas Bereishis, by the creation of man and woman, in Bereishis Beis, Posuk Chav Gimel. Vayemar Odom, after the Almighty brought Chava, the first woman, to man, he said, Zeisapam, this is the one for me. Etzem me'atzomai, uvosem ibsori. She is made from my own bones, and she is made from my own flesh. Zeishikore Isho. He was elated. Now this is what we were speaking about. This is someone that he can unite with. The Vilna Gaon asks that according to the Chazal, the sages, man and woman were made together. Later they were split up. He said if the purpose was that they should be split up into two separate entities, why were they made together to begin with? Said because what is marriage? Marriage is where the two become one. He says, how can two become one? That's why Hashem made them one to begin with. So later on, when they married each other, they could again become one. But if they were not made one to begin with, so later on they could never become one. So this is what we are speaking about. Therefore, in this case of Yifas Tohar, so the Torah says, all right, go ahead. If you want, take her. But you should know, it's not going to be much of a marriage. And the safer she will be the Shanua, the hated one. And that's the second parsha. That leads us to the second parsha. When a person, that a person will have two wives, and one is a beloved and one is hated, and the one that's hated is the Shafas Toar. Then the Torah tells us, nevertheless, if your firstborn comes from the one that's hated, you have to give him the extra inheritance. Now, the parsha after that we have is the one of Ben Seir Omer. What is this doing here? So the Rashi brings from the sages that not only will she be hated, but you'll have a son from her that becomes a Ben Seir Omer, that will become the son that goes astray and rebels against his parents. Now this we have to give some thought to. Why? We explain why she should be hated. But why is it that they would have such a son? Why can't they have a good son from her, from each other? There are two reasons.
Firstly, we have to understand that the Torah tells us that when, this is not all of the time, but this is, happens many, many of the times, that kilkul habonim, when you have a son, a person has a son, like a ben seder meira, ruination, the seeds of ruination do not start with the son, but they started with the marriage, with the parents in the marriage. And why is this? This is if their unity is not bishleimus, if their unity is not in totality, then this itself are the seeds of ruination for the offspring. Rashi tells us again in Parshas Bereishis, where we just quoted in Pasuk Chof Dalet, Al Kein Yazov Ish Es Ovi Vis Imoy. Therefore, a person should leave his father and mother, Vedovak Bi Ishtoy, and he should bond himself, cleave himself to his wife. Vehoye Levos Rechod, and they shall be one flesh. What does it mean, one flesh? Rashi tells us, Havlad, Neitze Al Yidei Shnehem. The one flesh is referring to the child, the offspring. The offspring is created by both of them. And through the offspring, they become one flesh. It says, "V'dovat bi ishtoy, you shall cleave to your wife." Now, the offspring is produced by the sum total of the forces and the energies and the genes which are in the parents. But the parents are two, the offspring is only one. If there is a total unity between the parents, then the offspring is good. If there is a disunity between the parents, there's a division, then they're headed for trouble. Because all of these forces have to be united in the child. And if these forces are not united by the parents, they're not going to be united by the child. The child, in other words, can end up being a mess. And the same thing to the contrary. If the forces are united, and we're talking at all of these levels, the physical level, and at the emotional and mental and spiritual level, and they bring kedusha, sanctity, into their marriage and purity, then all of that will go into the offspring, and he has enormous potential. Now the Gemara tells us that if there's a flaw in the unity of the parents, there'll be a flaw in the unity of the child, and this is called a pogum. He is called a pogum. A pogum means a child with a flaw in him, and this can head for disaster. The Gemara explains this in the Dorim, Daf Chof, and the Rambam brings this, these halachas in Perek Chof Aleph of Isuri Bia. We'll just quote a few. Halacha Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. he brings that when a person is with his wife physically, he has to be very careful, but they both have to be very careful of what the situation is between themselves. There shouldn't be quarreling between them. There shouldn't be hatred between them. And so forth. He should not be together with his wife if he has decided that he wants to divorce her. There shouldn't be a fear between them. Be most okay. And if there is, Habonim Einon Egonim. The offsprings can carry that all within themselves, and they become not good offsprings. They can become children that are very arrogant and brazen. They can become children that are rebellious. Children that are poshim, that they do not, they're against the Torah. And Yisuri HaGolus is Tori Reso. Children of this type that are born from such unions, because the union itself was faulty, so they are Pegumim. There's a fault and a flaw in they themselves. HaGolus Beirinin or Tori Reso. When they have to face life, and especially the type of life we have today, that we do not have Yerushalayim u'Beis HaMikdash, and therefore life is very difficult, that can be matrid them, that can drive them away from everything that's good. This is on the negative side. Actually, we find a little further in our parsha, where the Torah tells us, "Lo yikach in posuk chov gimel posuk aleph, lo yikach ishes ishes oviv, v'lo yigale knaf oviv." Torah says that you should not take. Here it's talking about not where it's a permissible union, but the union is not what it should be, but where it's a prohibited union. Person should not take the wife of his father, or so forth. And from here we learn out all of the arayas, all of the forbidden marriages. Then it states in Pasuk Gimel, Lo yovei mamzi bekal Hashem. So the Gemara learns that from such unions is born a mamzer. What does a mamzer mean? So the Chazal tell us, mamzer, the word mamzer means mum zor. That since that was a union which was alien totally, this was someone that was not permitted, they were not permitted to each other with all of the severities, talking about a close kinship, a close relative, or another man's wife, the offspring would be a mamzer, mumzar, would have not only just a flaw, but would have a major fault, which is totally alien. And therefore, Le'ovel HaKal Hashem, you cannot marry into the central community of Klal Yisrael. Now, just as this is true on the negative side, this is also true on the positive side. If there's a strong love between the parents and a strong unity between the parents, the Achdus and the Devekus, then the Gemara tells us it's the potential to create wonderful, wonderful children. The Gemara says in the Dorim, in the Dorim and Davchof, the same Gemara that we quoted, Omar Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, Omar Rav Yenisin, Kol Odom Shisha Tevaasoi, Havin Lo Bonim, Shafila Bedeire Shal Meisha Rabbeinu Lo Hayu Kameisim. Where there is a very strong attachment between husband and wife, then they will produce a son who
can be a greater, of a better nature and a better son than even was in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. But speaking there of the Yetzer Mitzrayim. Now, before we go further in the Gemara, we have to understand who the Yetzer Mitzrayim was. The Gemara tells us one of the greatest generations in Klal Yisrael was the generation that went out from Egypt. And there also, the sages tell us, why were they so great? It says, "Bishus noshim tzidkonias," because of the schus of the righteous women, "Nigalu Yisrael miMitzrayim." We were redeemed from Egypt. What did they do? What was their righteousness? Was their righteousness? The Torah doesn't say their righteousness that we're referring to here is because they kept mitzvahs. This mitzvah, that mitzvah. No. It says, what was their righteousness? Their loyalty and the veikus, attachment to their husbands. This was their righteousness. They were in Egypt, and their husbands were given slave labor from dawn till darkness. And there were many attractive Egyptians around. And the wives very easily could have been disloyal to their husbands. Who knows? And I'm sure that the Egyptians offered the Hebrew women great treasures. The Hebrew women were known for their beauty. Not only does it say that they never were disloyal to their husbands, it says in 210 years in Egypt, there was one case in 210 years. And there were literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Hebrews in Egypt. One case, and even that case was through error. Just one case. But not only that, but it states that when their husbands would come home, so they would come, beat their husbands in the field, and they would bring them water to bathe in, and they would bring them to drink, and bring them to eat, and take care of them. And then they would reproduce from them. And it says because of that they created the generation that was Yetzer Mitzrayim, that went out of Egypt. And they used to use their mirrors. They used to bring the mirrors in order to try to arouse their husbands. And these mirrors, the Torah tells us that they brought, when Moshe asked for copper, they brought these mirrors for the Mishkan. They needed one accepted at first. He says, a mirror, a woman's mirror. It's made for vanity. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take them. Chavivin olai mikulam. This is more dear to me than anything else that was brought. Because it was through this, Hamidom, they rose, they brought up, and they rose up a whole generation. So these were the children that were born in Egypt. Now the Gemara tells us, it says, that if the attachment is so strong, they'll have children greater than that generation. How do we know? Because when Yisrael came and he said, appoint judges, so Moshe went to look for judges. He looked for wise people and he looked for Nevonim. Nevonim means people with great bina. It's a great level of Torah. Bina. When he went and he finally appointed the judges, though, states he found chachomim, wise people, but not nevonim, not with this great bina, this level of bina. Leah, with an enormous enthusiasm, an enormous force, she went out to meet Yaakov. There was an enormous attachment between her and Yaakov. She went out to meet Yaakov, and that night was conceived Yisochar. And on Yisochar it says, Mibnei Yisochar Yedei Bino Le'itim. He had come, he and his children rose up to the level of Bino in Torah.
So the Gemara says, you see that they can bring up children even greater than the generation of Egypt. So that's the converse. Not only children that are straight, they're not a ben seder or meira, they walk a straight path, not only children like that, but children that can reach the highest levels in Torah, in Kedushas and Chochmas HaTorah. Yisachar, from Yisachar came the heads of 250 Sanhedrins, 250 courts in Israel. Now, so this is one principle that we have. Therefore, the Torah tells us, you see, if Astoar, I'm not advising you to take her, the Torah says, but if you want to, you have permission, but you should know, firstly, and not only is it not going to be a good marriage, but the children are going to be pegumim, they'll be faulty. You'll give birth to a ben seder or meira. That's one reason. There's another reason also. This is from the marriage aspect. The second reason is from the aspect of the home. If she's a snua, she's hated in his eyes, so what kind of home is it going to be? It's going to be a home of riva machlekes. Be a home where there's constant bickering, constant quarreling. Just the opposite of Avaha v'Shalom, where there's love and peace. And this also will create a kilkul erunation of the son to be brought up in such a home. So we have from two aspects why such a son will come out. Firstly, from the marriage point of view, and secondly, from the home point of view. From here we learn another important point, and that is all Jewish parents are very concerned with chinuch, with education, Jewish education. And we all feel that where is the point of departure in Jewish education? Where do we start from? From the children. Yegia lechinuch. Once the child can be educated, then you must start. Now from here we see that's not the starting point. The starting point is in the parents. In the parents, in the marriage, before the children come. That's the beginning of Jewish education. And in the home, before the children come. Then they'll have a good education. Now, another point. In the parsha of Ben Seder Meira, it states something which needs attention. It says, Ki elish Ben Seder Meira, when a person will have a son that goes astray and rebels, einenu shomea bekolovi bekolimai. He does not listen to the voice of his father or mother. And again it says it. They should take him to the elders and say, Boneinu, Zeseiramere, Nenu Shemeh Bekeleinu, he is not listening to our voice. What does this have to do with it? We said that the reason why the Ben Seder Meira is punished in this fashion is because he has stolen, and he's eaten a lot, and he drank a lot, and what he eventually will do. So what does it have to do, Einenu Shomea Bekeleinu, he is not listening to our voice? Here the Torah is telling us another great principle. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he taught Adam HaRishon, the first man, many important foundations of life. And this was handed down, these were handed down to the sons of Adam and to the generations. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he taught Noah. And Noah taught his children. and their children taught their children. And he taught Avraham, and Avraham taught his children, and their children taught their children. And again he taught Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. And Moshe taught it to the people, and they taught it to their children, and so on. The basic bond that the world has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kesher HaDoros, that one generation is linked and tied to the previous generation. This is how we know what the Almighty taught to Adam. He gave him 6 mitzvahs. And what he taught to Noah, additional mitzvahs. What he taught to Abraham, Yitzchok and Yaakov, additional mitzvahs and instructions. And what he taught to Moshe. It comes out that direction to the world, where does it come from? It comes from the preceding generation. Where did the preceding generation get the direction? From their preceding generation. Back to Moshe, back to the Ovis, back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the link of the generations to direction. This is why the Gemara tells us that a Rebbe is called a father, because he's also instructing and directing the generation in what the previous generations knew. And the Talmidim are nikraim bonim, and the students are called children. What happens if this is broken? You do not have this. Then there is no link between one generation and the past generations. And then the world goes astray. It's like a world which is adrift without any ties to what was before. Therefore, the most important principle of a son and of a parent is that he shemeh le'ovivimai, that he'll listen to his father and mother. If he'll listen to his father and mother, then they can give him everything that they were given. And they were given from the previous generations. If he will not listen to his father and mother, then he'll be a thief, and he'll be a drunkard, and he'll be a glutton, until he'll go and kill. Once he stops taking advice from his father and mother, and instead he starts to take advice from his peers, from his friends, or he starts to take advice from other foreign sources, then it's a sad day. And then he will come to the level where he will not be able to distinguish between light and darkness, and good and evil. Because how's he supposed to know what is light and what is darkness and what is good and what is evil? Therefore, the Torah here tells us where the underlying problem is. Einenu shemea lekol ovi velekol imai. He does not listen to the voice of his father and the voice of his mother. Once that happens, then he goes adrift. When you have a generation that will not listen to their father or their mother or to their rabbis, then there is no direction for that generation. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to ensure this, that all of life will be linked to He Himself and to the previous generations, so He placed a nature in the child, where the child very much wants to listen. Take a young child. He wants to listen to what his parents have to say. Not only wants to listen, he wants to emulate them. A young girl always wants to act like her mother. A young boy wants to act like his father. They're always looking for instruction. They're trying to be like their parents. They're trying to be like the past generation. This was the nature. It's a very strong force that I am placed in a youngster for this purpose. This will ensure the Kesher HaDoros, the link between the generations to the preceding generations. It will ensure the Mesoros. Because of this, parents have to be very, very careful to guard this carefully. And we can mention here from four aspects. Firstly, they have to improve themselves and they have to perfect themselves. We have to perfect ourselves and improve ourselves. So what they emulate will be something good. See, unfortunately, children emulate, but they don't know the difference between good and bad. The father's a drunkard, they learn how to become a drunkard. The father beats his wife, then they'll learn how. That's something they've learned. And so forth. If the father goes around cursing all over, this is what they learn. And so on. If he has a temper that he cannot control and he goes into rages, the father or the mother, this is what they learn. So the first thing is, now this goes back to education. The education starts with the parents, not with the child. They have to make themselves, if they do not have children is one thing, but if they have children, they have to make themselves into something that when the children will emulate it, it will be the right thing that they're emulating. Secondly, when they instruct the children, they have to instruct them in a way which will make it easy for them or make it acceptable for the children to listen in a nice way, in a beautiful way, and also not in a hypocritical way. Many times you hear from children, they say, look, my father tells me this, my mother tells me this, but they themselves don't do it themselves. The children see right through that. So it's hypocritical. So that's the second thing. Third thing, which is very important, they have to teach children the importance of listening. You know, our Jewish parents should be blessed, but whenever you speak to educators, they'll tell you that they have the most difficult time with Jewish children to listen to them, or when it comes to discipline. Because our Jewish parents, at least in this generation, do not teach their children to listen to the parents. Father says something, you ask the old generation. Ask the old generation. If father said something, it was said. If mother said something, it was done. There's no buts about it. But in our liberal generations, it's a whole discussion. And this has to be implanted in the child from the earliest youth, from the time he's a baby. He has to know that his father says something, he has to do it. His mother says something, he has to do it. And we hear this all of the time from educators, fortunately not Jewish educators. They have non-Jewish classes. They listen. Jewish becomes a whole problem. Every time a whole discussion. Then fourthly, they have to guard very carefully that there'll be this link between the generations and themselves. There won't be what is called the generation gap. Baruch Hashem, here in South Africa, family unity is very, very strong compared to the rest of the world. When you go to other parts of the world, you don't find it so strongly. And you find what is known there as the generation gap. The children have nothing to do with the parents, and the parents have nothing to do with the children. And this is not only important, this is a criteria, this is imperative. Because once the children drift away from the parents, then they have no guidelines. They have no instructions. Then they start taking their advice from other people. The parents don't know what it's all about. They're old-fashioned. And what becomes their Rebbe is the newspapers, the peers, the university professors, or whatever it might be. what a parent has to do is not lose touch with his son or daughter, even as they get older. Many times they become interested in other things, and the parents are interested in other things. Now there's no common ground. If there's no common ground, so they quit coming around and asking and so forth. That's a danger point. Parent must always see that there's common ground in which their son or daughter can come around on, because otherwise that link is lost. So that's the generation gap, the family unity. So we mentioned here, firstly, from that they themselves have to make sure they're a good model. What he's learning from you is good. And secondly, the way it's given over. Thirdly, to teach them that they have to listen to the parents, to a Rebbe. And fourthly, that there should be these links, this common ground. So that's what is brought by Ben Seir Omeire, Einenu Shomea V'kol Ovi V'kol Ima. It comes out that the summation of these parshas is, firstly, that if someone will see a woman, a captive, and to him she's very beautiful, and he desires her. So you have here a level of physical infatuation. Then, if he marries her, then Sefer Lishnaya, from there he'll have a wife that is hated. That's the second parsha. And the third parsha is the Ben Seir Meir. From there they'll have an offspring like a Ben Seir Meir. And the fourth parsha is what the Torah tells us, if there'll be a person who is guilty of the death penalty, this is the eventuality that can come from this. The Vilna Gaon, in the letter, the famous letter which he wrote to his family when he had planned to go to Eretz Yisrael, but it never materialized. If you learn through that letter, you'll see that this is what he emphasizes more than anything else in the letter. He emphasizes that there should not be anger, curses, hatred, loshon hara in the house. There shouldn't be machlekes at all in the house. Even when you learn with the children, he says, it should be done in a beautiful way, with simcha, with nachas, with yishu, with relaxation. He says, the main thing that in the house should be ava v'sholem, there should be love and peace. And then he says, to the contrary, he says, if the children go around and they say curses and loshon hara and machlekes and lies, he says then, and that's the only time, he says then don't be marachim on them, don't have rachmonis on them, then you have to discipline them, you have to beat them if necessary, if you want them to be good children. That's the time when he says to if they create hatred and machlekes and loshon hara and so forth. Now, in final conclusion, unfortunately and tragically, our world is just the opposite of all of this. Today, the great Rebbe and the great father and mother of the world is Hollywood. The movies, television, video, press. And what do they teach? They glorify everything that we're talking about not to glorify. They glorify superficial infatuations, physical beauty and appearances. physical romances, immediate gratifications, the absence of all depth and values. We live in a world of immediate shallow kicks, drugs, casinos, travel brochures, premarital relationships, extramarital relationships, or relationships with no marriage whatsoever, done away with the institution of marriage, and quick and easy divorces, abortions, disloyalties, and so forth and so on. This has become the Rebbe of the world, the father and the mother of the world. And what are their motivations? Their motivations are, for them, it's profit and gain. They make money on it. Or, like we spoke at length once, the liberal generation that wants to be a permissiveness. There was an individual who writes, this famous police chief in America. He says, I don't call it permissiveness, I call it spinelessness. This is what is taught. They've gone to their peers, they've gone to foreign sources, they've gone to whoever it might be to learn from. What comes from this? Churban HaZivug. We see marriages destroyed. Churban HaBayis. We see homes destroyed. Churban HaBonim. We see children destroyed. And we see people who are deserving of the death penalty. See murderers. This is what that generation has produced. So therefore, we must learn very carefully from here, because individuals have a great job to do and a very great responsibility. And yes, Hashem, if we follow the principles of the Torah, then we will have lasting marriages and strong, wonderful homes that will have Ava v'Sholem, and children, like the Gemara says, that will be as great as the generation that went out of Egypt.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.